So as you know, summer storm and hurricane season is fast approaching. We actually just had the American Red Cross Connecticut chapter on last week talking about the fact that June is right around the corner. This year's hurricane season in the Atlantic predicts to be one of the busiest on record. And this time of year is really putting the dangers of carbon monoxide back into the spotlight. It is known as the invisible killer. And we're going to talk about why that is and also why this applies to you and making sure that you are as safe as possible, especially inside your own homes. Who better to talk to about this than one of my favorite fire chiefs out there? I don't think I'm allowed to say my ultimate favorite because I think I'd get in trouble, but he knows how much I love him. The fire chief in the city of Bridgeport, Lance Edwards, is back, and we're so glad to be talking about this morning. Hey, Lance, how are you?
Good morning, Melissa. How's everything?
Oh, just fabulous. And I appreciate having you come on. I know we have talked about CO before, but I thought this was a really great release that I had just gotten in the beginning of May. And I couldn't think of a better person to talk to about this. And I know we've discussed it on the show before. So let's get back into it. First of all, very common question we get, which is, why is carbon monoxide called the invisible killer?
Because you really can't see it. It's undetected by the eye, and not like smoke. Smoke we could all see, but carbon monoxide happens to be a release from a fossil fuel that's burning with insufficient oxygen. So the dangers that people are exposed to when dealing with carbon monoxide is something that we should all take very serious. That's why we incorporated the dual smoke alarms into our smoke alarm program here in the city of Bridgeport probably 5 years ago, because we recognized the importance of making sure that the residents were notified, not just that there was smoke in the home, but also carbon monoxide, because it's something that really you can't detect until it's too late and you're actually showing symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning and exposure.
Where does carbon monoxide come from, Chief?
It actually comes from fuels such as like natural gas, gasoline, wood, coal, propane that burn incompletely. So basically when they're burning, there's insufficient oxygen. And when that takes place, a byproduct of that burning process is carbon monoxide.
Interesting. I was reading actually in this new report that we got actually, again, in the beginning of the month. This came from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission's office. It says portable generators are prone to serving as a source of CO poisoning, with more than 150 people in the U.S. dying every year from accidental non-fire related CO poisoning associated with generators, especially during storm power outages. I did not know that.
Oh, absolutely. So usually when you have me come on, Melissa, usually like at the beginning of the storm season, we talk about the importance of generators and making sure, A, everyone follows the manufacturer's instructions. I say this all the time, and that's key, because if you follow the manufacturer's instructions, they tell you never to run your generators indoors, which unfortunately a lot of people do. And you want to be at least 20 feet away from your home. You want to make sure that they're away from anything, any type of ventilation appliance outside of your home, not anywhere near a window, because this CO really is something that we need to take serious. And as you mentioned, over 100 people die from this accidental exposure to carbon monoxide, but over 400 people die annually to carbon monoxide exposure. So it's something that we really need to start paying closer attention to.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And again, we have a fire chief of Bridgeport here, Lance Edwards, and we're talking about CO poisoning. In fact, when you look at portable generators, again, I did not realize this. It says since 2009, portable generators have been associated with 40% of all non-fire CO deaths related to consumer products, which is, again, that's just extraordinary. So definitely, again, this is a warning that I know Chief Edwards has said on this show and has said publicly, which is don't ever have those portable generators inside the home for obvious reasons. What are some other things that people should be doing? Obviously, we know the detector. That's a huge thing.
That's huge. So based on your municipality, you certainly want to at least call your local fire marshal to see if they have a program where they'll come out and install these dual alarms, or at least provide them free where you can install them. But the location is probably the most important thing. One of the issues and characteristics of carbon monoxide is that it's lighter than air. And most carbon monoxide that's found in your home is created from your home heating appliance or your hot water heater, which is usually located in your basement. So we always recommend that if you're going to install a dual smoke alarm, you want to make sure, A, if you have one downstairs in your basement, because that's first, you want early detection, that's key. And then you want to make sure that it's centrally located out of all of your sleeping areas. So if you have bedrooms on the first floor, you want to have it in a hallway, same as the second floor. So this way you have early notification. That's key.
It's known as the invisible killer. We are talking about carbon monoxide, also known as CO. It is back in the spotlight right now because we are just weeks away from the start of hurricane season, which is fast approaching in June. And we have with us Bridgeport Fire Chief Lance Edwards talking to us all about the dangers of CO poisoning, how it happens, the importance of detection placement in your home. Let's talk about symptoms of CO poisoning, Chief Edwards. What are some things that people should be aware of? Because it seems like, again, when you talk about the invisible killer, it is odorless, it is colorless, it's kind of weightless. People don't even realize that they could be walking into a room where CO has filled the room, essentially. So what are some symptoms that could be triggering us that something's not right in the atmosphere?
Yeah, the symptoms actually mimic flu-like symptoms. They're very, very similar. So you would end up with shortness of breath, dizziness, headaches, lightheaded, all symptoms that you would typically have if you were actually diagnosed with the flu. So many people, unfortunately, succumb to CO poisoning because they think it's just the flu, and things just get dramatically worse when in reality they were exposed to very high levels of CO or very low levels over a long period of time. That's one thing I want to make sure that people understand. You could be exposed to very low levels of carbon monoxide over a very long period of time that eventually catch up to you, or a very high level of carbon monoxide in a very short period of time.
Wow. I mean, that's why you hear sometimes those awful stories where it doesn't happen all the time, obviously, but where people check into a hotel and if they don't have the CO detectors, the family doesn't make it because they didn't realize that it had been either completely, you know, full of CO when they went in, or it's kind of happening in the overnight hours while they're sleeping and they just, you know, unfortunately don't wake up. It's so scary. That's a very, very scary thing.
It really is. And one other thing before you ask another question, I want to make sure, because usually we talk about the importance of, if you're going to run your car, especially in the winter, make sure that you don't run it in the garage, you pull it outside, especially if your garage is attached.
Right.
This also goes for the warm weather months as well, because a lot of people like to run their cars to get the air conditioner running before they get into the car. So we run into the same issue in the middle of summer. We're still responding to CO calls because people are running their cars in a garage to get the air conditioner running, and the CO is seeping into the living space. So you have to be conscious of that as well.
That's a really good point. We have Chief Lance Edwards here with the city of Bridgeport, their fire department. And let's talk about, first of all, that actually is a really great point. I was thinking about, so fires, you know, house fires, we see kind of like these ebbs and flows, if you will, where we see upticks happen right around Thanksgiving time, you know, and into the early parts of winter because of heat, because of cooking fires, things like that, the Christmas tree, what have you. But then it kind of drops off a little bit, and then it sort of comes back a little bit in the summertime with bonfires and forest fires and things of that nature, cooking outside the grills again. But it's not as bad in the fall and the spring. What about CO poisoning? Is that something that really is an issue year round, or do we see kind of upticks, you know, for example, during hurricane season or during the colder months of the year?
It's more of an uptick in the cold weather months because, like I said, the majority of carbon monoxide is generated from the heating appliances in the home. But we respond to carbon monoxide calls throughout the year. Obviously, it peaks in the winter, but we're still responding to these calls year through.
Okay. So what is the best way we can prep our homes properly for especially hurricane season? And again, with the goal, I want to say, in mind of avoiding CO poisoning.
Number one thing that you can do is make sure that you have your home heating equipment serviced annually by a certified technician. So this will guarantee that your home heating appliance is at least running efficiently. it's getting the proper amount of oxygen. So this way you eliminate the opportunity for carbon monoxide to exist. And this should be done every year. For those that are fortunate enough to have a fireplace, you want to make sue that your fireplace and your flue is cleaned every year, because the buildup of creosote in there could become an issue as well. You want to make sure that your flue is operating the way it's supposed to, that it's not damaged at all. And just be diligent about having these detectors in the home on all levels, especially the basement.
I'm going to ask a dumb question, so please don't judge me, okay, Chief Edwards?
No such thing.
So is there any connection? I always have this fear with my dryer, especially because you can smell when it's not overheating, but you could smell when there's kind of something wrong. And you know how they say you got to check the, I don't know, what is it? The duct. Yeah. Is that the vent. Is that something that is connected to also CO because it's kind of a heating or no?
Yes. There's small amounts of carbon monoxide being generated when you run your gas dryer, but that's why it's important to make sure that you clean that vent out so you get rid of all the lint, so you don't limit the hole, the space that carbon monoxide and the hot gas is created when the gas dryer is running to escape the home. So it's important. I tell my kids all the time, every time you run the dryer, clean the vent out. Even if it's very little air, just get rid of it. Just get into the habit of not allowing the lint to build up, because at some point you start to constrict the space that's allowing the carbon monoxide and the hot gases to escape, and eventually you're going to run into an issue.
So when you say the vent, you're talking about, again, like, I don't want to say piping, but the thing that's behind it going up into the ceiling or whatever. That's what you're talking about.
Correct. The one that's piped outside. It should be piped outside, not up to the floor above you, but it should be vented to the outside.
Okay. So is that just something that you detach from the back of your dryer, or do you have like a specialist come out to do that, and how often?
We do it ourselves at my home, but there are companies out there that actually will clean them out if you want to get it professionally done. If someone is elderly and they're just not comfortable doing it, I know there are companies out there that specialize in just vent maintenance and cleaning out your vents, just to make sure that you're able to stay safe in your home.
Interesting. Okay. I just think that's another thing that people don't think about sometimes, is making sure that they're also cleaning out the dryer. I don't know why, but I think about that's something that also generates, you know, heat and can get kind of musty, and not musty, but you know what I mean? Can it get, I don't know, yucky in
Correct.
There? I can't come up with the word, but you know where I'm at.
I know. Melissa, if you decided not to, you know, your little vent trap that is on your gas dryer?
Yeah.
If you decided not to clean that out and just allow the lint to build up, you'll notice that it takes longer and longer for your clothes to dry. That's because the trap is being clogged with all that lint. So as soon as you remove it, you'll notice, okay, now it only takes 30 minutes, 45 minutes to dry the clothes, opposed to 2 hours.
That's a really good sign for people to think about as well. You know,
absolutely.
So if you're seeing that should be a red flag that, hey, you know what, there's an even bigger issue that besides your clothes not drying in time, that's an even bigger issue you want to avoid. CO poisoning, fires, certainly. So really good heads up there. Chief Lance Edwards, this is why I adore you. Thank you so much for all this great information. I so appreciate you taking the time to come on the show.
Not a problem. Anytime, Melissa.
All right. And again, Bridgeport Fire Chief Lance Edwards here on WICC.